Worms, Captain of Compost, Doctor of Dirt, Old Natural Howard, and lots of other goofy names. I call him Dad. Here he is, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome everybody to the show. We talk gardening here. It's an organic gardening show. Love for you to join us. We've already done 1 hour today. One of the things that I probably ought to mention is that if you miss any of the show, first hour, second hour, or third hour, some radio stations carry all three, some carry just one. So whatever the case is where you are, remember that you can hear all 3 hours at dirtdoctor.com, and they are archived. Matt gets it all set up and gets it on there for you by midweek each week, and you can hear the past shows there. So we're delighted to have you on board anyway. You can be with us. The number to be with me is 1-866-444-3478. And just I talked about a column that was written in a local paper about trees and some points that I didn't agree with in the first hour. You might want to check that out. There was one more point to talk about, and that is it was mentioned to not plant trees within a certain number of feet from the foundation of the house, and I can't remember what the distance was. And it doesn't matter. I think it was 10 or 12 feet. I'm not sure what exactly. Yeah, 20 feet, 15 or 20 feet. Like that would be a safe distance to keep trees from your foundation. And when people call me about that subject, we always get into the same kind of conversation. If you're worried about tree roots, you're going to have to keep the trees off your property. If you have a normal residential size property, and if you want to see exactly what I'm talking about, you can go to Facebook. Go to the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett, on Facebook. And the picture I just put up, it's on there now, is a shot of a property in the Lakewood area of Dallas. And those weeds that are showing in the St. Augustine grass in the front yard are actually root sprouts of persimmon tree. And that tree there in the front yard is not a persimmon, it's a live oak. The persimmons are in the backyard. So, in other words, that and they're pretty big persimmons, but they're not, you know, hundreds of years old or anything. They're probably in the 20 to 30 something year range, possibly a little more now, but I doubt it. And the point is, the roots came around the house. I doubt very seriously if they went under the house, and that's another point about worrying about trees being planted too close. They probably went around the house and came to the front yard and sprouted up. They're sprouting in the backyard, too, but the front yard is where most of the grass was, and through the years, that's probably where the most fertilizer has been used. And once they found that area, they stayed there, and they pop up. What can you do about it? Not a thing in the world. Mow them down or pull them off, trim them off by hand. But certain trees like persimmon will continue to do that from now on. And if you, the only way you can get rid of them is to get rid of the trees where they came from. But the point is, you can't stay far enough away from the foundation with the tree to keep the roots from getting to the foundation. So if you're worried about tree roots hurting your foundation, you're going to have to keep the trees off your property completely. People ask about, and it was mentioned in this article, to use root blocking materials, root barriers. They're okay, I guess. You want to make sure they're solid and not porous, because that won't help you. If they're porous, like a weed blocking fabric or something like that, they won't. The moisture still goes through and it doesn't do you any good at all. But I personally believe that the foundation is the best root barrier. Roots go over and hit the beam of the house and go sideways or build back up back toward the tree, because that's where the irrigation is. Most of the time, unless there's a leak or a faulty foundation, the area under the house will be much drier than the area outside the house. So that's where the roots will stay, is outside. And in thousands or millions of cases, trees that are pretty close to houses create no problem at all. Do they sometimes? You bet. Sometimes they get under and build up under the house. But there's they're either going to or they're not, and it doesn't matter how far you've planted them away from the foundation. That's the point. Back to the phones. Mark, let's see, did I forget somebody I needed to work back in here that called back, Matt? I'm going to go to Mark first in Weatherford. Hey, Mark.
How you doing, sir?
Doing well.
Yeah, I got woke up this morning, my dog barking, and she got squirted by a skunk. Uh-oh. Got any organic stuff?
Yeah.
Get this smell off her?
Yeah, we do. I'll give you a starting place anyway, Mark. If you go to our website, dirtdoctor.com, everything's in alphabetical order. Go to Skunk Recipe. And we actually got this originally a long time ago from a column that a lady by the name of Annie Bethold Bond wrote. And it's one that we had kicked around before, and she kind of corroborated, or she picked it up from somebody. And a lot of people have used it and say that it works pretty well. What it is basically is 1 quart of 3% hydrogen peroxide, you know, from the grocery store.
Yeah.
1/4 cup baking soda, which, you know, you should have around the house, and 1 teaspoon of some kind of a liquid soap. Wet the dog, work the formula through the fur, leave the mixture on the dog for 4 or 5 minutes, and then rinse thoroughly and throw out any leftover remedy. And the reason you do that, if you made that mixture and put a cap on it and stored it, it'd blow up in your cabinet. So that's the deal, hydrogen peroxide, baking soda, and a little soap.
All right. Thank you very much. Can I ask one other question? How do you get rid of sand burrs, stickers?
Well, grass burrs are a classic indicator weed, and the reason that's important to understand is once you change the condition of the soil, those weed seed of that and other noxious weeds will still be there in the soil. They're not going anywhere, but they won't germinate. And so the key is to build up the humus, and related to that, the humic acid and other organic acids in the soil. The sandier your soil is, the harder that job is.
Yeah.
You do the same thing, though, no matter how sandy and how bad it is, you build up. The lava sand, the volcanic sands help greatly with it. Then compost and organic fertilizers, humic acid products, spraying with the Garrett juice, you know, all the things that I recommend all the time anyway. Build the biology in the soil, and their dead bodies and waste materials, as they grow and go through their life cycles and everything, they're the most significant source of humus there is. You can buy a lot of it and put it out, but you're going to get a lot more created by the microbes by simply putting the organic conditions into place and letting them help you with it. And once the soil changes color and has that storehouse of humus in the soil, you won't have grass burrs anymore. The physical thing to do is to put out, before they germinate in the spring, corn gluten meal. Corn gluten meal is a natural pre-emergent. It's got iffy results some years because of the weather and iffy on certain weeds. But on grass burrs, it works very well. But you have to get it out before the grass burrs have already germinated. And the bad news for you there is that they've already germinated this year.
Right. Okay.
So next spring, if you want to do the extra thing besides just this overall organic program that you can start right now, you put out the corn gluten meal, and we'll be talking about it, you know, real early in the spring. We'll start talking about it in the middle of February.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, sir.
Appreciate the call. Grass burrs, yep, can be dealt with, but they are a soil health issue without any question. Pete in North Lake, is that where you're calling from, Pete?
Correct.
Okay. What's up?
Well, I had a strange occurrence with one of my Japanese pistachio trees. Right? I have several of them. And last Saturday evening when it rained, Saturday during the day, totally green, no issue. It's about a 3-inch caliber.
Mm-hmm.
And right after it rained, Sunday morning, it was yellow. All the leaves were yellow. And then Monday, before I left town, I came back yesterday. It's totally brown.
Pete, do you use Facebook?
Only for one reason, to track my child's activities.
Okay. Well, I was going to tell you, if you could ease out and take a picture of it, and take a picture of the base, the trunk coming right out of the ground, put it on Facebook, I could tell you exactly what the deal is, probably. My best guess is that it's too deep in the soil and you got some circling and girdling roots going on. And a flash kill of the foliage like that is either that or there's been some fertilizer issues. Can you hang on with me for a bit?
Okay.
I'll be back in a minute. We'll talk a little more. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, right after this.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of beneficial microbe and enzyme products. BioSI products help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, reduce fertilization needs, and help reduce irrigation needs. BioSI can be used to treat flowers, lawns, shrubs, and trees, as well as herb and vegetable gardens. Water Doctor by BioSI cleans and maintains ponds, lakes, and water gardens. Contact them today at 866-393-4786 or on the web at biositechnology.com.
Okay, gardeners and farmers, for over 30 years, Arbico Organics has been a leading provider to growers nationwide. Arbico Organics offers beneficial insects, natural fly control, mosquito control, beneficial nematodes, grub and beetle control, insect traps, and many other pest solutions. Call 800-SOS-BUGS, 800-827-2847 to speak with one of their friendly specialists, or go online to arbico-organics.com. That's arbico-organics.com.
Last summer, mosquitoes carrying West Nile virus struck with a vengeance. Now it is time to protect your family, pets, and livestock with organic, easy-to-use mosquito donks and mosquito bits. Summit Mosquito Donks and Mosquito Bits kill mosquitoes before they're old enough to bite, and they are safe and effective to use in ponds, bird baths, rain gutters, and in any standing water. Mosquito Donks and Mosquito Bits are available at garden centers everywhere. Visit SummitResponsibleSolutions.com for more information.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic approaches in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC wants to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center can use your support. Your contribution is tax deductible. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the bottom of the homepage to find out more about TORC and how you can help. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
My dogs eat only Munster Natural dog food. They do that because that's all we give them, but they really like it.
When friends and relatives drop their dogs by to visit, they won't eat their own food if offered the Munster side by side. Dogs love the taste of Munster, and the ingredients are super high quality. A main point for me is the absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of some of the highest quality ingredients around, including prebiotics and L-carnitine, and also some unusual ingredients that I've been recommending for a long time. The chicken and rice formulas contain no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, so it's your choice. Munster Natural Pet Foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the USA, not in China. Everything about Munster Natural is quality and results in healthy dogs and cats. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com about how to get the products in your area and make your dogs and cats healthier and happier.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Welcome back to Dirt Doctor Radio, brought to you in part by Crazy Water, my favorite water of all, Arbico. The company that supplies lots of beneficials, the best quality beneficials in the marketplace. And Black Cow, makers of fine compost products. We were talking with Pete in Northlake about his Chinese pistachio tree. Pete, have you heard me talk about trunk flare issues and plants being too deep in the ground before?
Yes, I have. Now, the trunk flare itself?
Mm-hmm.
Because I planted all the trees, you know, they're probably quarter inch. They're about 4 years old.
Okay.
About a quarter inch caliper when I got them. They're about 3 inch now. You know, square 2 foot by 2 foot hole. Roughed up the bottom of the, you know, roots and what have you before I put them in there and planted them. This one is actually sunk. Now I have a hole, it's sunk in a hole, you know, after I planted it, over the years, and the flare itself is probably about 4.5, maybe 5 inch caliper. So I can see it, how it dramatically comes up. It was just strange. The other ones are doing fine. Just all of a sudden, poof.
Well, there's only two possibilities really here. One is that the flare is not exposed enough, even though you're seeing it flare out. The Chinese pistachio tree is the world's worst tree for having circling and girdling roots. Okay. And it happens at the grower point. It doesn't happen after you get the tree. It happens when the thing's being grown. They grow them, in a lot of cases, in containers, way, way too deep in the soil, in the containers. And if they're bald and burlap, sometimes the same thing. Bald and burlap, the trees grown in the ground, the way they manage the nurseries is, one, they planted them too deep to begin with in a lot of cases, and then when they cultivate to do their weeding, it throws a little bit more soil up on the trees every time, and then when they do their ball and burlap, and they usually start with a tree spade, and when it digs the hole, it tends to push a little soil on the flare. So what you need to do, even though it's in a hole, is go down a little deeper and see if you run into a girdling root, because that girdling root pinching and cutting into the trunk is one possibility of what happened. The other possibility is that you shocked it somehow or another with some kind of a fertilizer. Have you been using synthetic fertilizers or organic?
I used about 3 years ago synthetic, and ever since then I've been using organic dirt, basically, from the local nursery.
Organic dirt doesn't sound very good.
Well, compost.
Okay. Well, there's a possibility of, I hate to bring this up, but you just have to, there's a possibility that compost is made with hay or with manure that came from properties that were sprayed with picloram or clopyralid. And those two herbicides are very recalcitrant. They don't break down quickly at all. In some cases, they don't break down at all. And you can have a compost that is toxic. You can you can send it to Texas Plant and Soil Lab, and I think they can, if they don't help with that specifically, they can tell you who does do that. That is a possibility.
Well, I do have one question then. When I dig around it today, this afternoon, and if it is the roots gurgling, is there a way to cure that now that it's been planted an additional 4 years?
Oh, yeah, sure. We've taken girdling roots off that have already cut into the trunk. It has to be done either by yourself or by an arborist very carefully. If it's cut in, you have to do it surgically, basically. You have to use a hammer and a chisel, a small chisel, and go in and cut that root that's cutting in. And in some cases, it's better to just leave it there, to cut it in a couple of places and let the tree grow and pop it off. You see what I mean? Rather than trying to pull it out and doing more damage to the trunk. I'm not positive that that's what it is, but it's sure a possibility because it happens with Chinese pistachios a lot. Okay. A very high percentage of them.
All right. Well, thank you for your advice and information.
Do you have a smartphone of some kind?
Yes.
Take a picture of it, way it is now, just that base. And take a picture of the foliage, too, but take a picture of the base and email it to me. Send it. If you don't send it to Facebook, just send it straight to me, info@dirtdoctor.com.
Okay.
And then once you uncover it, take a picture again because we can, you know, use this as a teaching thing for everybody, no matter what you find here.
All right. Sounds like a plan. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Pete.
Bye.
Let's see what I have missed here. I think I'm caught up. Well, one quick thing let me do so I don't forget to tell you about it. I have an interesting thing going on in the backyard. Now, I will show you this in photograph form, too. We'll do newsletter or do put it on Facebook. I planted some crinum lilies a couple of years ago, and I didn't like them very much because they're kind of a hot pink. Didn't like the color very much, and I was kind of – they were the only ones I could get at the time. I've got at least two of them that are putting out white flowers. And a lot of people say and argue that a plant can't change its flower color, but boy, can they. And I think I'm going to have beautiful, and not only is the color different, but they look a lot, the plants look healthier. I'm Howard Garrett. I'll tell you more about that when I get back. Don't go away.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Police plan to look for more possible murder victims in the Cleveland area today after three bodies wrapped in plastic were found in a Cleveland suburb. The mayor of East Cleveland says police have arrested a registered sex offender. He has not been charged. More than 70 people have been killed this weekend in Iraq. Two bombs early today killed six in the outskirts of Baghdad. Those attacks follow a coordinated wave of car bombings last night. A senior Pakistani official says his country is willing to help get peace talks started with the Taliban if asked. The special advisor on national security and foreign affairs says Islamabad has been trying to jumpstart talks for some time. And Israel's prime minister may be trying to lower expectations about the prospects of reaching a peace deal with the Palestinians. Benjamin Netanyahu, talking to his cabinet today, says the effort will be long and difficult. This is SRN News.
It's a fact. You can make thousands of dollars flipping houses. Discover the secret house flipping formula from Dave and Pete, the stars of A&E's hit show Flipping Boston, for free.
Hi, it's Pete and Dave. We're giving you our flipping formula for free. It's what we use to find the right house, flip it fast, and get paid.
It's time to stop just talking about flipping houses and start doing it. Now is one of the best times in history. USA Today reported that you can make thousands of dollars in profit flipping houses.
In New York City, the average profit was over $118,000. Omaha, it's over $71,000. Lake Havasu, Arizona, the profit per flip was $87,000.
And we're going to show you how we do it for free. Stop dreaming. The houses are there. The opportunity will never be better. And for a limited time, the flipping formula is free.
Call now, 800-665-1569, for your free flipping formula book and two DVD quick start guide. Just pay processing. That's 800-665-1569. 800-665-1569.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. All-Star Game MVP Mariano Rivera entered to an ice ovation at Rival Boston and worked a scoreless ninth inning for his 31st save as New York beat the Red Sox 5-2. Boston skipper John Farrell says having two runners thrown out at the plate was costly.
Game situation is going to dictate most of it, if not all of it. And it worked against us a couple times today.
Tampa Bay beat Toronto 4-3 for their 16th win in 18 games. The Rays now just a game and a half behind the East-leaning Red Sox. The L.A. Angels blanked Oakland 2-0. C.J. Wilson, who retired 18 consecutive batters at one point, says games left against the A's and Rangers are key in the division.
We can catch these guys, you know, on their heels a little bit and continue to win series against those two teams. It's the most important games of the year because we can't win anything in September. We have to win these games now.
Angels 9 behind Oakland. Baltimore beat Texas 7-4. The Rangers stay two games behind the West-leading A's. This is Esser in Sports. Minnesota beat Cleveland 3-2, while it was Kansas City 6-5 over Detroit. The Tigers remain a game and a half ahead of the Indians atop the Central. Seattle beat Houston 4-2, this despite four Astro pitchers throwing a combined one-hitter. Go figure. In the National League, it was Cincinnati 5-4 over Pittsburgh. Red shortstop Zach Cozart says his club has come out determined, started the second half.
Starting off the second half strong was a huge goal of ours, and we're trying to get on the right path playing baseball right. I think these two games, I don't know if you could say we have more urgency or what it is, but it seems like we have more intensity.
Reds two games behind Pittsburgh. The Pirates are two behind Central leader St. Louis, who lost to San Diego 5-3. San Francisco beat Arizona 4-3, while the LA Dodgers down Washington 3-1 in 10 innings. The fast-charging Dodgers now just a half game behind the West-leading Diamondbacks. It was New York 5-4 over Philadelphia, Milwaukee 6, Miami nothing, Colorado 9, Chicago 3. Interleague play saw the White Sox beat the Braves 10-6. Atlanta's East lead remains at 6.5 over the Phillies. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All right, Howard, back with you. Just real quickly, we'll get back to the phones here, 866-444-3478. But, yeah, plants can change the color of their flowers. I guess I hear about it the most from people who say their irises went from being some color to white. And, yeah, I've seen that happen in my own place at our office. Ours, some of them there changed color to white. But the crinum lily, I was really – I'd already taken out a couple of them, the pink, the hot pink ones. I just didn't like the color very much. But the chance that they might all convert to white is there, I guess, because at least two of them have. And they're big, beautiful flower stems. Looks like bigger flowers than they had before. So it they've not only gotten a change of color, but look like they're even healthier than they were with the other color. How that would have anything to do with it, I don't know, but it seems to be the case. Let's see, where are we? Well, let's see what Crazy Rick's got some advice for us maybe here. Hey, Rick.
Hey, man, how are you doing today?
Doing well. What's up?
Well, I was listening. Well, I've been listening to the whole show, but that one fellow that called in said his dog got hit by a skunk this morning.
Yeah.
You know, I use that same baking soda and hydrogen peroxide and soap mixture on my black German Shepherd. You remember Major, don't you?
Yeah, sure.
Well, he turned red. So, you know, he didn't really like that, and I didn't like a red German Shepherd. I liked the black one better, so I tried.
Oh, it actually bleached his
yeah.
hair. Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting.
So what I did, I wasn't into doing that anymore again. So, you know.
How long did that last?
Until his hair grew out.
I'll be darned. Well, I'm glad you told me that.
Yeah. Anyway, you do have another product that you have in your arsenal that works excellently, and you can brush it in and brush it out and give the dog a bath afterwards and use the product that you have brushed into the animal. It's soaked up all the smell and, you know, all that toxic stuff. It's called zeolite.
I should have thought of it myself. That's a great idea.
Yeah, zeolite works wonders on getting those smells out of the dogs.
Good tip.
Hey, question for you. Are you going to the Heirloom Exposition, the National Heirloom Exposition in September out in, where is this, Santa Rosa, California, with the Baker Creek people?
No, I had a conversation with them about doing that last year, and I went to their store the last time we were out in California and talked to the manager there about it, and we never have gotten together. I'm afraid I've got a conflict the week that they're having that, but I would, if I can do it, I will, and if I don't do it this year, I'll for sure try to do it next year. It's a really good event, and that's a good bunch of people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's from September 10th to the 12th, and it's at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds.
Yep.
It's only $10 for an adult to show up, but they're supposed to have over 300 exhibitors with over 3,000 varieties of fruits and vegetables in this three-day thing. So,
yeah.
You know, I would highly recommend people go see what GMO-free food really looks like.
Yeah, it's a good event, good people, good quality seed, and I totally agree with you, Rick. Thanks for both tips.
All right, thanks, buddy.
See you soon.
Bye.
Let's go to Louisville and talk to Blake. Hey, Blake.
Good morning, sir. How's your day going?
Well, really well so far. I'm keeping one eye on the British Open goings on over here, and one of my our local 19-year-old Jordan Spieth is not doing quite as well as we had hoped, but he's certainly not embarrassed himself in this big stage over there in Scotland.
Well, that's good. You had that guy called in about the cross ties.
Yeah.
About 15 years ago, we had to have CoServe come out and replace the power wire coming in. Well, while they were doing it, they said the pole was old. It'd been here 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so they pulled it out, put a new one, put the wire in and everything. And I said, can I have that pole? And the guy says, you really want it? And I said, yeah. He said, how are you going to transport it? I said, on a long trailer. He said, okay. He went and got a form that I had to sign, and it was a EPA form about the toxicity, what was in that thing. Now, that pole was 30 years old. We took it out to make a deer blind stand out of it. And when we cut it in two, it coated the blade of the saw with that creosote.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have to sign a toxicity form to get one of them, I don't know how to sell a cross ties without you having to sign one.
I don't know how that happens either. The utility companies are just probably more in the crosshairs of the EPA, and they're doing it, you know, just from a liability standpoint. The people that sell cross ties ought to be concerned about that, because some homeowner or somebody, you know, somebody does get some poisoning from that. There could be some liability, I would think.
There's enough ambulance chasers to ruin that
yeah.
part of it.
But the point is, I mean, your story is great. I mean, that is, after 30 years, it's still full of creosote in the center of the thing, and pretty toxic material that you need to sign off on to be able to use. They're just covering themselves from a liability standpoint is what they're doing.
Well, didn't a few years ago down in Midlothian, wasn't there a company that was they were replacing guardrail posts, and they were running those through one of those kilns or something down there, and didn't they have a big nasty fight about the chromium and all that kind of stuff that was coming out in the smoke?
Yeah, I think that has been a big issue, and the CCA that used to be around was probably as bad, if not worse in some cases, than the creosote. But creosote has been, you know, listed as a carcinogen, a known carcinogen, for a long, long time.
Yeah, that's the stuff that builds up in fireplace chimneys and sets houses on fire.
Well, some of the same chemistry there, I guess. But anyway, creosote treated lumber is not anything that we want to have around. Did y'all end up using it for the deer blind?
Yeah, that's when we cut it in two, and that's whenever we had to clean the blade with the saw gas to get the blade unstuck. So it's pretty thick in there.
All right.
I'd say that hole had been in, they said, about 30 years.
Yeah. Well, you might want to paint it and cover it up. Paint it haint blue, and that'll keep the insects away from your blind.
Well, we don't use it anymore.
All right. Well, thanks for the story. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Let's give the number because we've got an open line for a bit. It seems 866-444-3478. Let's go to Clarkston, Washington, I guess, and talk to Stuart. Hey, Stuart.
And how are you doing this lovely morning?
Very well, sir. We've got pretty nice weather for the middle of the summer here in the Dallas area the last few weeks.
Okay, my question is on fleas. This year, for some reason, fleas, when I walk around the field, they just like to jump on my socks and just love me to pieces and just give me all kinds of bites. And I can't figure out how to naturally, I can spray all the everything that they have in the store on them, but I don't like any of that stuff. I don't like to breathe it and can't figure out why I have it this year, but I haven't had it in years past. So I got it on my socks, then I get it in the bed, and thus, you know, I haven't slept in months since then.
Wow. Well, they're pretty easy to control, but what kind of acreage or what size is your property?
It's at 2 acres. I got a big field out there that's not doing anything, but in my garden area, about 75 by 75 in my garden area that I spend most of my time in.
Stuart, it's pretty easy to control them, and what you want to use is beneficial nematodes. I'd recommend that you contact Arbico, A-R-B-I-C-O, and it's arbico-organics.com, or you can call them at 1-800, let's see, what is the number? It's 800-SOS-BUGS, I think, is the...
I've done nematodes for the last 3 years.
Where'd you get them?
I got them down here from a nursery that stocks them every year.
Okay. You may want to try a different source. I'm not saying that they weren't any good, but the chances are when they come into a... The chances are certainly there that when they come into a retail store that they stay around a little bit too long and aren't viable as they should be. Because if you've used nematodes out there, you shouldn't have any fleas at all. It's a wonderful, very effective control of fleas and ticks if it is a healthy nematode product that you put out.
Yeah, okay. I got a hold of them, and they say they only stock it for a very short period of time. So they called me up the day they received it, and I got it the next day and took care of it, used it immediately.
What did it look like? Was it the kind that's on a blue sponge, or did it look like it was in kind of a moist potting soil? What did the product look like?
It was in a moist. I can't remember the name of that stuff that they have it in.
Kind of like vermiculite almost?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Yeah, some of the companies do that. Well, all I can tell you is if they didn't work, there's a real high possibility that they were dead because they work. They work as well on fleas as anything, and they work on ticks also.
Yeah, I've done that nematodes for the last 3 years in my garden. Just to get rid of some other problems with potatoes and...
Well, let me tell you the other thing that you can try then. I would try a different brand of nematodes, but if you don't want to do that, the other thing that you can do is use one of the essential oils, and the one that's the easiest to find right now is called Eco Smart. There's also one called Essentria that the pest control people... use, and you can probably buy it from any store that sells, you know, a wide range of pest control products. The essential oils are made out of the juices from herbs, things like peppermint and clove and rosemary and things like that, and they kill invertebrates. They're not a repellent. They kill. but they don't kill, and they're not neurotoxic at all to vertebrates, which means frogs, toads, you know, lizards, and birds, and you and me.
Okay, sounds good. We can work on that. Another thought here, iris. I came up with this year, only seen it one other time in my lifetime. I have a nice, beautiful iris, and out of five stalks, the last bloom is a two-on-two instead of three-on-three on every single stalk. What would cause that?
Well, probably some of the same things we were talking about with the color. I think that just the genetics of a plant can alter in the plant somehow. I don't understand exactly how it works, but that's got to be what's going on when a plant changes color, you know. A lot of people here, I've heard talk about it and say that it's impossible. It can't happen. I've heard some university people say that. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. I'll be back right after this.
Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. It also happens to be good for you as a sports drink. The all-natural minerals and electrolytes infused into crazy water deep underground by Mother Nature help your body rehydrate and recover much better than all the artificial colors and sugars found in most sports drinks. If you can't make the run all the way out to Mineral Wells, Texas, you can get all the crazy water you need at Whole Foods or Central Market. Crazy water, so good, it's crazy.
There's a new version of Garrett Juice coming onto the market. It's Garrett Juice Pro. And if you're a contractor, golf course superintendent, small farm, or growing operation, then these products are designed specifically for you. Green Industries is the manufacturer. It consists of oilseed extracts, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, bacteria, and beneficial fungi. There's also Garrett Juice Hybrid for those who haven't gone completely organic. To learn more or to order, call 877-665-2121 or go to GarrettJuicePro.com.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
The first step to a beautiful lawn this spring is an application of Revive. Hi, Dale Langford here. You know, I've been writing lawn and garden columns for over 40 years, and I found one product that really works. It's Revive Organic Soil Treatment. Revive is a proven, unique formula of wetting agents, soil conditioners, and nutrients. It's organic-based, safe for kids and pets, and will not burn your lawn. Revive moves fertilizer and water down deep to the roots. Hey, that saves water and fertilizer, and that saves money. The results are spectacular. Get greener grass with less water. A lush, dark green, healthy lawn that you can be proud of. And remember, saving water is saving money. Revive is available at your favorite garden center. Visit revive.com for more information and store locations. Use Revive every few weeks for the greenest lawn on your block. In fact, use Revive right now. It works.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's MedinaAg.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. 866. The number is 866-444-3478. Let's see. Somebody called in and couldn't hold and wanted to know about transplanting a Nandina bush, how to do it, anything should go in the hole first. Well, first of all, when you transplant any kind of a shrub or a woody plant of any kind, tree, shrub, vines, whatever, you want to do just like you're planting a new tree, basically. You want to backfill with the material that came out of the hole. Now, if you're transplanting the plant into a bed, well, that bed has been prepared in the vast, so you're digging that prepared soil out, and then you're putting the prepared soil back in. So whatever is there, you dig out, you plant, backfill with what was there to begin with. You don't put something different in the hole than the rest of the area is, because if you do, you create a pot in the ground. It's very difficult to get the watering right. It's hard to you'll overwater or underwater, and it's not a good thing to do. So if you put anything at all down in the hole, it would be a handful of earthworm castings, or not even a handful of Epsom salts, a tablespoon of Epsom salts, or some minor little thing like that, if you want to do it. But generally speaking, I don't. I just wait until I have transplanted, backfilled, watered in. Then I apply the Garrett Juice Pro, is the one I'm using the most now, this new product, to the surface. And if you're doing your own Garrett Juice, get a microbe product like the Bio SI or something like that to put with the Garrett Juice mixture to drench down in the soil. Now, when you're planting new plants, you can put that mixture in a bucket and dip the plants, the roots, in that Garrett Juice microbe mix before they go in the ground, and it makes a big difference. We use this new product, the Garrett Juice Pro, for planting the caladiums this year, and I was mentioning to Judy yesterday, I've never seen the caladiums be so beautiful. There's just an enormous number of leaves coming out of each of the bulbs that was planted, and they really are big and look healthy as they can be. And the only thing I did different this year is to dip them, soak them for a little while in that mixture before they went into the ground. It really worked well.
Let's see who's next. Paris, Texas, I'll bet you it is. Loretta. Hi, Loretta.
Good morning. I have two problems. Okay. One, something is eating my rose bushes, the leaves on them, and it's really weird. They're making perfectly round holes, like you took a little hole punch and mm-hmm. punched holes in them. If it's on the edge of the leaf, it's a half circle.
Mm-hmm.
I've looked on the back of the leaf. I can't find any little eggs or critters or anything. I don't have grasshoppers, and I can't figure out what's making the little round holes.
Well, I know. It's called a leaf-cutting bee. If you look at my book, the Texas Bug Book, we've got quite a bit of information about them in there. They're hit-and-run artists. They're bees. One's called a mason bee, and which is overall very beneficial. It's a good pollinator. And then the leaf-cutting bee is also called a plug bug. And the reason they're called plug bug is that they will cut that leaf tissue. Like you're saying, looks like it was done with a hole punch, just a perfectly straight line. If you watch them doing it, they do it just meticulously. It's really a cool thing to watch. And then they take that leaf tissue to a pipe opening or some kind of an opening, and they build a nest for their young and will a lot of times plug up things that it causes a problem, you know, like a hydrant that's not used very often. They'll sometimes use that, and that's how they got the nickname plug bug. But it's a neat little bee that's doing some cosmetic damage, yes, but really doesn't hurt the plants that much. You could repel them by spraying your Garrett juice on a regular basis and adding a little bit of orange oil, in this case probably no more than an ounce per gallon, and just have a repelling situation going on there rather than trying to kill them. You're not going to kill them anyway.
I've seen a lot of bees this year.
Well, some of them that you're seeing are probably the leaf-cutting bees.
Okay.
That's a good thing overall because that helps with pollination and the overall biodiversity. You're going to get a little bit of cosmetic damage, but it's not a big deal.
Okay. Well, I couldn't figure out what's doing this, and they were so lame, you know.
Yep.
You were talking about the different colors in your plants.
Uh-huh.
Last year, I set out, and I was very particular, I wanted blue hydrangeas. This year, I have had green, I have had white, I have had pink, no blue. How do I make them turn blue again?
Well, the thing that people write about and recommend is to use something that will change the acidity of the soil.
Uh-huh.
I've tried it myself, Loretta, I've never gotten anything but just kind of a muddy color. You really need to just use the Garrett juice, one of the Garrett juice products, your own or commercial product, and one of the biological products, and keep the plants as healthy as they can be and let them be the color that they want to be in the soil that you have. Trying to change the color, you end up with kind of a muddy, dull-looking color. I just don't think it's worth the time and the trouble and the money to do it. Let me put you on hold. If you had something else, got to go away for a little bit. For a lot of you, we'll be back for a third hour. All of you can go to dirtdoctor.com and stick with us. If you've got a question, call me at 1-866-444-3478. And the website's dirtdoctor.com. That's where you can sign up for the free newsletter that comes on a weekly basis.